Call me Dr. Post if you want to, but I prefer Pastor or Terry, or just don't call me late for dinner, right, as they say. What a privilege to be here. What a blessing for all of us, for you, for us. It's a blessing and a privilege to minister the Word of God. And I want to say to begin with that, first of all, I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord for bringing Pastor Joe and Becky to minister to us for these 9 months. I don't know, it seemed like 3 years, but I guess it's only been 9 months or so. And what a blessing they've been to help us with this transition. They've been a huge help to me personally, to us as a church. And they have been such a blessing. And we don't want them to leave. We'd like them to stay, but God's moving them on to another church in Connecticut, which needs an interim pastor. And that church is getting a good interim pastor. We know that, don't we? We know that. I mean, he's become our pastor. That's how I feel. You know, I feel like, how can you leave? You're our pastor now. You're here for good. But no, I forget. So, we as a church called Pastor Ernsberg to be our senior pastor. And Pastor Joe is leaving, I think, on Tuesday. And Pastor Ernsberger will begin now, and we'll be preaching each Sunday and Wednesday, I think. And we asked you, didn't we tell you to get Wednesdays too? Okay. And whenever else you want to. You can preach all the time if you want to. Roberta and I, in light of all this, we decided that it might be best that we visit our pastor friends' churches for a while to give Pastor Brian and Lynn some space, I guess, to take over the role of senior pastor. And we thought it'd be best. We just kind of took a leave of absence temporarily because I'm retired. And since I'm retired, I'm retiring. And so this is part of my retiring. I have loved being your pastor for all these years. For 40 years now, I guess. Now, not all of you have been here for 40 years. Maybe one or two of you have been here about that long. But I have loved, it's been my life for Roberta and me. It's been our life. But the time has come for the transition, and we're excited that Lord has brought Pastor Brian and Lynn to take the role of pastor. And they need your prayers, they want your prayers, and we can pray for them. We must pray. They need our fervent prayer and complete support. So God bless this transition. God bless this day. And what a blessing for you. You get two preachers. One service, two preachers. Can you meet that? Well, let's get to it. Invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, the book of Hebrews chapter 13. I want to talk this morning about a joyful accounting. A joyful accounting. God gives us the blessing of having a joyful accounting. And we're talking about the church's responsibility to its pastor. Hebrews 13, 7. Let's begin with Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. And this can be translated, remember your leaders. Remember those who lead you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation, or considering the result of their conduct, how they live. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, obey them that lead you. Follow them. Submit to them. Let them lead you. When I stand before the supreme judge of the universe to give an account of my life, and I will, and you will, we all will stand before the judge one day. Mark it down. Don't forget it. live your life in light of that accounting that is coming. But when I stand before the judge of the universe, I want to be able to do it with joy. And I hope it's a time of the Lord finding in me gold, silver, precious stone. And if his work abides, he shall receive a reward. And I want to receive that reward. Because if my life is wood, hay, and stubble, that's going to be burned in the fire of God's judgment at the bema of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. I hope I hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," Matthew 25, 21. But you know, I'm afraid we don't take seriously this accounting that will come. We just play around with Christianity. And we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, it'll work out in the end. God is good. He understands my weakness. Yes, he does understand. But also, he will judge. He will judge. He is merciful and gracious, for which we are so very thankful, but he also is a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. And he commands me to be holy, and he enables me to be holy. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, "Be holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1:15. God said, "You be holy." And he says again, I'm talking about you be holy. Me, I'm to be holy. You know, in Matthew 27:19, you don't need to turn there, but Pilate is seated on the bema, on the judgment seat, where he sat to judge criminals and would give them their sentence, their punishment for their crime, and where he sat in judgment upon Christ when he called him a just man. Remember, Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with that just man." And he tried to wash his hands of the responsibility of condemning Christ to be crucified. But he couldn't wash his hands of it. Christ is seated on the bema of heaven. And he will judge you and me. He will give us our just sentence. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in our body, whether good or bad." And it'll be a just sentence. There will be no appeals, no retrial, no mistrial. His judgment is final. It's done. And there'll be no questions asked. And I have a responsibility given to me by God to live my life according to God's word as a Christian who will give an account. I'm to live as a Christian who is going to give an account. You know what? The pastor of a church has a responsibility to his congregation to feed them the word of God, to shepherd them, to lead them, not to drive them. His people are not cattle. They're not cattle to be driven, but sheep who need leaning beside the still waters. We're not on a cattle drive with Gil Favor and Rowdy Yates in Rawhide. We're sheep. We're to follow our shepherd, Jesus, our good shepherd, our kind shepherd who leads us. The pastor is to feed the flock which is among you, in 1 Peter 5:1. But if we look at it another way, the church, the congregation, also has a responsibility to its pastor. Now, yes, the pastor is to tend the sheep, to bind up the wounded and seek to heal the brokenhearted. But did you realize that the church has responsibility to its pastor? Yeah. The church, the people, the congregation, as a whole and as individuals, are responsible to do their part in the ministry. You have a responsibility individually. We must not, we dare not sit back and watch the pastor take care of everything. We'll look at our pastor. He's doing this. He's there. He's preaching. He's over there. He's doing this. He's doing that. He just can do anything. He can do everything. This is a good show. I'm enjoying the show. No, we don't want to do that. Now, sometimes it's a case that the pastor wants to do everything because he's the only one who can do it right. Didn't you know that? Yeah. Or if he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. Well, I've been very guilty of that. I've done a poor job of delegating over the years. And because of that, the people, the congregation, they're missing out on a blessing of ministering and serving the Lord through their local church. Now, I've not always been that way, but I've been that way too many of the times. You know, I fall in. Someone says to me, "Hey, preacher, did you know the sink in the restroom is dripping water?" And you know what I say? "Well, okay, thanks for letting me know. I'll call the plumber tomorrow. Maybe I can fix it." What did I do? I took the monkey off of his back and I put it on my back, right? And I should have said, well, why don't you fix it? Or why don't you call the plumber, right? That'd be a good idea to do. That's what I needed to do, but too many times I didn't. I fall into this monkey on my back trap because, number one, I like to do things myself. I do. I just like to do them myself. Well, I'll do it. Or sometimes I think, well, I can do a better job at doing certain things. Not very many things, but some things. And number three, I'm a people pleaser. I like to make everybody happy. And so because of that, I'm inclined to do other people's jobs for them. The job that they should do, I come along and say, well, I'll do it. I'll do it. I've done this before. I know how to do it. And, you know, that's wrong. How is that other person going to learn how to do it? You know, I learned to delegate. Yeah, put the monkey on their back. So it's clear whether the pastor has a monkey or someone else, the pastor is to feed the church of God and encourage his people. He has a big responsibility, a sacred duty to care for the flock as the under-shepherd of the great shepherd. But did you know, and do you know, that the church has a great responsibility too? They have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to your pastor, right? As we already read in Hebrews 13:7, remember them who lead you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or considering the impact of their lives. Think about the impact of their lives. Think about how their manner of life affects you and me. Remember them. Remember their faith. Remember their faithful lives. Remember their sacrifice to preach and teach the word to you. Follow them. Imitate them. Consider them. The church has a responsibility to its pastor. And we need to take that responsibility seriously. We can't have the attitude that so often we have, well, I'll let others take care of that. I'm busy, or I'm not the pastor. I'm not talented. I'm just a nobody with no real ability. But you do have ability. Every one of you have ability. After all, the greatest ability is what? Dependability. Dependability. Do you have that? You'd better have that. You're not good for much if you don't have dependability. Every one of you can be dependable and should be dependable and will be dependable, right? And God helping me, I sure will. I sure will. Well, I just want to share a few thoughts about that very thing. The church's responsibility to its pastor. What is my responsibility to my pastor? And it's more than just attending the preaching and not complaining. You know, we think, well, I showed up and I didn't complain about the pastor's sermon when I got home. Well, that's good, but we need to do more than that. Number one, our first responsibility is to pray. Pray, pray, pray. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul was begging the people, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, and that we may be delivered from wicked men. Pray for us. Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, who preached in London over 100 years ago, he was known as a great preacher, but it was not preaching that made Spurgeon great, according to Spurgeon himself. Mr. Spurgeon repeatedly acknowledged his success as a direct result of his congregation's faithful prayers. It has often been remarked that the whole church produced Spurgeon. When visitors would come to Spurgeon's church, he would take them to the basement prayer room where people were always on their knees interceding for him. And Spurgeon would say, here is the powerhouse of the church. And he said that the prayer meeting was the most important meeting of the week. So, the church's responsibility to its pastor, number one, pray. Number two, encourage. Encourage. You have done well in encouraging me. You have been a blessing to me over these years. Encourage. Who do you want to be around? Who do you want to hang out with? People that encourage, right? That's who you're attracted to. You're not attracted to negative people, critical people. Every time I'm around them, they badmouth something or somebody. No. We're not attracted. And we don't want to be those kind of people, right? We don't want to discourage folks. When people leave on Sunday morning and greet the pastor, and they say to him, that was the worst sermon I've ever heard. Pastor, you laid an egg this morning. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you came up with a doozy this morning. Well, I tell you what, if he did come up with a doozy, he already knows it. And he's going to feel bad enough with that without adding insult to injury. Encourage. Some people are really good at encouraging others. Some people are not so good, and they have to come out of the shell and work at it. Some encourage all the time, and then some would never think of saying anything, right? Remember the story about the 10 lepers in Luke 17:17? Christ healed 10. One came back to say thank you. And Jesus said, where are the nine? Where are the rest of them? They said, thank you, Lord. At least say, you don't have to say it every time. You don't all have to say it. But just say, I appreciated that. I appreciated that message. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Or send an email. That's a blessing to get an email saying, Pastor, I appreciated your message, Sunday. Or I appreciate you and your wife. Or a card. Can you believe that? And young people, you can go on Google and you can look up how to send a card and where to put the stamp and all of that. So it's okay to say something. And just saying, that spoke to my heart. Or you can at least say, well, that was a sermon. That's all right. when someone takes the time to say thank you, that's appreciated very much. It's a blessing to get a note of encouragement. Sometimes when I get cards, Roberta and I set them on a table and they sit there for a month, and just every time seeing that card, oh yeah, what a blessing. Well, and looking at that card again. And I take the money out right away and then leave the card. But and sending a couple dollars is a blessing too. But, you know, say something, do something. Take them out for dinner. Have them over for dinner or whatever. Now, maybe the sermon was kind of lengthy, but you don't need to say anything. When he gets home, his wife's going to say, honey, you were a little long this morning. You were a little long. By the way, his wife needs encouragement too. Don't forget the preacher's wife. Sometimes her life can be pretty lonely. It can be pretty lonely. Yes, she has friends. She has a lot of friends in the church, and she does things with other women in the church. And I know my wife has been blessed by that, but she has to be guarded. Maybe that's the right word. She has to be guarded in what she says, because she's a pastor's wife. And so she has to be careful what she says. Okay, the responsibility of the church to the pastor, they're to pray, they're to encourage, they're to volunteer. Be a volunteer. A volunteer, someone who offers his services without expecting anything in return. They're just going to volunteer. And there usually are many things that can be done in the church that we can volunteer to do. We can say, hey, preacher, what needs to be done? Or better yet, I find it, and sometimes I think, I don't know. I forget. I know there's things to me. Or be specific and say, well, can I do such and such? Or, hey, can I clean the toilets? Or can Mrs. Smith use a visit this week? Volunteer, a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted. Why not you? Jesus is a captain. We will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Volunteer. I remember when we first bought this old Elks Lodge, and many of you remember, it was a mess. It was a mess. There were so many times after we bought it, I wondered, oh no, what did we get ourselves into? Why did we buy this building? You've heard me say, I would park across the street and park by the motel over here. I would just look in this building and pray. I say, Lord, I don't know if we did the right thing, but it's ours, I guess. And then I remember so well when we first purchased this old Elks Lodge and had to clean it up and get ready to have church services, we had our hands full and overflowing. The floor tiles were loose because of being soaked by rainwater that leaked in through the roof. I think there were about 30 places where it leaked. 30. I had buckets all over this church. And the ceiling tiles were old and yellow. They turned yellow from all the cigarette smoke from the Elks. And they smelled like smoke. Anyway, we were way over our heads. But the church family responded. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We had work days, and they were huge work days. And it seemed like every single member came out to work on this old building. It was a blessing. It was a highlight, one of the highlights of my being pastor for these 40 years. It was encouraging, unifying, and just a blessing. I used to see people on ladders, messing with the old fluorescent lights, taking them down, throwing them away, replacing them, replacing ceiling tile, painting over the yellow tile and stuff. Young folks, old folks, middle age, we were all here, and it was encouraging, unifying, and a blessing. So, again, the church's responsibility to the pastor. Pray, encourage, volunteer. Number four, support. Support. And you do. Support with your tithes and offerings. Other gifts. Gifts above that are a blessing. We should never have the attitude, well, we like to keep our preacher poor and keep him humble. No, he's going to be humble already. You know, I don't know of any personally, but I've known of pastors that have gotten so discouraged because their people don't take care of them that they left the ministry, left the church. Wheatland has not been like that. You've been amazed. I've been amazed and grateful the desire this church has had over these years to support me and my family financially and every other way, and encourage us by that support. Or going up to me and saying, Pastor, what can I do? I want to help. Or sending notes or texts that you're praying. And you're praying as the pastor prepares the sermon for Sunday. So what a blessing. And number five, finally, be dependable. Be dependable. So pray, encourage, volunteer, support, be dependable. The greatest ability indeed is dependability. You may have great talents, but if you aren't dependable, what good are they? What good are they? You might hire the best person in a certain field to work, but if they don't show up, what good are they? And so in the church, you're needed to do a task, do it. Follow through. Do it and do more. Maybe you see something that needs to be done and you offer to do it and the leadership is blind to it. Then do it. I remember going to church where there's a picture of Jesus behind the pulpit, and it was crooked. And I thought, I look around, nobody seems to notice this. None of those, all the congregation, their heads were all tilted. I thought, no wonder they've gotten too used to this thing. And I wanted to get up and straighten that picture up, but I left it alone. Maybe they finally straightened it up. But do it. You see something? Do it. And the church has a responsibility to its pastor. I have a responsibility to my pastor. I don't have to be my pastor's best friend, but I can be his most dedicated and faithful servant, serving him and the Lord with all that I am and all that I have, following him in as much as he follows the Lord. So I'm responsible to be there. The church's responsibility to the pastor. Pray, encourage, volunteer, support, be dependable. Simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. Simply obey, and we can do it by God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for these years that you've given Reverend and me to be the pastor of this church. It's been our life, Lord. It's just been our life. It's been a blessing. Thank you. Bless now as we continue, and may your word can be glorified in all that we are and do, in Jesus' name. Amen.